Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. The House has approved a bill protecting same-sex and interracial marriages.
The motion is adopted.
States will now have to recognize same-sex
American.
The Biden administration says it made every possible offer to free Paul Whelan, and Moscow refused.
This was not a choice of which American to bring home.
The choice was one or none.
And we brought one home today.
It's a great day to have an American freed.
Brother David Whelan says his family thinks President Biden made the right call with the deal to free Griner and appreciates that the White House gave a heads up.
It allowed us to process the news, the disappointment, and really the devastation.
Paul Whelan serving a 16-year sentence on spying charges. The family fears he won't be home anytime soon.
He's very disappointed.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
The House has passed a bill to protect same-sex and interracial marriages. Congresswoman Judy Chu.
We cannot take our rights for granted. No one should have to live in fear that a Supreme Court decision could invalidate their marriage in the blink of an eye.
The House also passed a defense bill. It includes a provision scrapping the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. That's now headed for the Senate. A new package of military aid for Ukraine expected tomorrow. Ammunition and high-tech for countering drones. And a FedEx driver has allegedly confessed to killing a girl last week in Texas. Norman Hall has details.
According to an arrest warrant, FedEx driver Tanner Lynn Homer told authorities that he strangled 7-year-old Athena Strand after accidentally hitting her with his van while making a delivery at her home in a small town northwest of Dallas. The court document says Homer told investigators that the child wasn't seriously hurt after he hit her while backing up the van, but that he panicked and put her inside. I'm Norman Hall.
This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. American Red Cross employees are preparing to go on strike during the Upper Midwest's largest blood drive on the 23rd if there's not a new contract agreement by a week from today. Union employees have been trying to reach a new deal for almost a year and a half. The Red Cross has canceled or rescheduled 21 meetings in that time and is telling negotiators there isn't money for pay raises. The idea of passenger train service in Madison is back on track. City leaders are getting public input on 5 proposed train stops in Wisconsin's capital. It's not a foregone conclusion. Washington still hasn't released the money, and the city and state would have to agree on specifics. In sports, the Bucks beat Sacramento last night. College volleyball's Sweet 16 play today. Wisconsin hosts Penn State, and Marquette takes on top-seeded Texas. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
For them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, I'm thrilled Tuesday is over. And even more thrilled, Reverend Warnock is the senator from Georgia. Big round of applause there for the folks in Georgia. Now, the interesting part, and I come back to, though, the phrase I heard a lot from people who were supporting Warnock, supporting Walker, was, he's a good one. He's going to do what he was told. I heard that a lot. And as I said, lots to unpack there. But some good news. Good news. The Justice Department evidently is looking at holding Trump accountable. Maybe it can hold him in contempt over the classified document subpoena he was supposed to comply with that hasn't. There's a lot there as well, considering just yesterday we talked about there's a storage locker. Did you know there's a storage locker? It's got suits and swords and wrestling belts and, my favorite part of it, all sorts of things. And that makes my mind go into very bizarre places. And here to share some thoughts and maybe where some of those places will take us, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
My money's on blow-up dolls.
You know, great minds think alike, because I started thinking in those places as well. You know, maybe that's where the P-tape's at.
The sad thing is they're probably all blow-up dolls that look exactly like himself. Right? Can't you see that?
The sad thing is now you have put this in my head, I'm not going to see. Nightmares are made out of this.
He's just so narcissistic, right?
Yeah,
he'd just be like, oh man, I don't need a blonde girl. Like, I need a good
orange guy.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
I'm just glad that they actually found him. I wonder how did they get there? You know?
Yeah.
Did he put them there after he didn't turn him over to the FBI the first time, the second time, or the third time? Was he hiding them? Was it intentional? Or was it just like, okay, I have all of my blow-up dolls from the White House I need to be able to bring back to the storage locker? I was going to say the storage locker, don't you know, like the dudes who were opening that thing, it was like they were going to hurt locker it. Like, you'd be really nervous. What could possibly be in there? Yeah. That, you know, maybe you're not going to get blown up, but your mind could be destroyed what you see.
Yeah, that could be. Now, the reporting is, to be fair, no one believes Trump was actually at that storage locker. It was just his stuff.
Yeah.
The question is who told who to take what where and all that. Again, lots to unpack as we find all sorts of other things in these boxes, along with the swords, the suits, and the wrestling belts. Which, you know, presidents get a lot of gifts, and I get that. But also in the mix of the swords, suits, and wrestling belts and all other sorts of other things were evidently some more documents.
Yeah, and I guess no, I don't know, the Super Bowl rings or, you know, like I'm trying to think, like, what else could he have jacked from somebody?
Stole their watch, you know, while they were shaking hands.
Right, like how many Rolexes? Does he have like a jacket where he's built in the trench coat where he can hold it out and show you all the Rolexes? Because I think that's what's going to happen after.
Yeah, especially now this week. I mean, the reality is the Trump Organization found guilty on all 17 counts of tax fraud and falsifying business records. Now, it doesn't touch him yet, but you've got Michael Cohen saying, well, he should be very uncomfortable.
And I would say, too, the fact that Alvin Bragg, the district attorney for Manhattan, finally said, oh, hey, maybe I am going to go and look into what the connections were between Donald Trump and the business. I think, too, the interesting thing that Cohen told me that I didn't listen to the whole trial. And so he was like, you know, the big thing is that Weisselberg lied. And there was a plea agreement with him where he had to tell the truth in that trial or he was going to go to prison for significantly longer. So I'm curious if the, you know, judge was paying attention there. Because basically Weisselberg said, no, this was, you know, just my operation. Yeah. I did this. And that was their big case.
Fell on the sword.
Yeah. And but then you found out that it was systematic. It was through the entire company, all of the vice presidents and really anybody that Trump decided he wanted to help out. And so did that mean that Weisselberg lied on the stand? Does that mean he's going to get more time than just his, you know, half a year or whatever?
Let us hope. No, because, you know, for me, you know, when, and again, like you, I didn't listen to every moment of it, but, you know, the idea that, you know, there was a systemic plan to rip off the federal government and not pay taxes.
Yeah.
You know, all of this con seemed to be, well, right in line with what I would assume, you know, came from the top. I mean, this is, you know, this is just Trump being smart. If you remember, you know, during the debates with Hillary, you know, she accused him of not paying his taxes. He goes, it's because I'm smart. I've got a whole team of, well, cheats.
Yeah, people who are intentionally trying to dodge any kind of laws or rules about something that could lose me money.
Yeah, now look, and, you know, the reality in this is, you know, this isn't just a Donald Trump thing. This is a rich person thing. And, you know, part of me, you know, it's the same reason I wanted to see Mitt Romney's tax returns. Same reason I want to see Trump's tax returns. I want to see how rich people are dodging paying taxes and getting away from funding our roads, our bridges, our military, our healthcare system, all this stuff, how they're enriching themselves at the expense of the rest of us.
And that's been one of the things that I think folks are talking about. And even Trump has mentioned this. He's like, this happens in businesses all the time. Yep. Everybody's getting these like fringe benefits. And it's like, yeah, no, that's actually true. The difference is that because he was the president, there is a greater microscope on him than other businesses. So, you know, he kind of screwed the pooch on that. You know, he got himself there. And,
no, and this is what I was saying back in 2015. I don't know why this guy's, you know, wanting all of this attention, wanting all of this spotlight, because he's a shady character. Mm-hmm. You know, the reporting, you know, about him for years is that he's been a shady businessman, bankruptcies and cheating people, and all kinds of stuff. And you go, why would you want the hot lights of the spotlight to look into that? Because you know eventually they were going to get there.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was that he never thought he was going to win. You know, this was all some big marketing ploy, and he didn't think he was really going to be in it for that long. He didn't think, you know, it would turn out the way that it did. And it just turns out, you know, when you hire somebody like Steve Bannon or Corey Lewandowski who speak right-wing nutter, then you bring the right-wing nutters together and they're going to get you elected in some of those early right-wing nutter states.
Yeah, I just didn't realize the rest of the country would be right-wing nutter with them. You listen to the Rich
Smith show.
It's
more the primary. I mean, it's the primary Republican, right? Like, that is the big thing about why they can't have any kind of moderation in the Republican Party, because their primary voters are completely insane. Normal, middle-of-the-road people are like, I got stuff to do today. And everybody else is like, I got to get out there because my QAnon people told me to.
Is that how they said that?
Well, that's how my aunt sounds. So
you listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out the work that she does. We'll get links out on social media so you can check that out. Now, some interesting news. Evidently, the January 6th committee going to put out their report. We're going to get the final report. And thank goodness it's going to be on December 21st. I think, you know, waiting till Christmas Eve would have been a better choice than the 21st. But it's going to come out and there may be referrals.
Yeah, they've said that there could likely be referrals. At least one is what they've said. And we've talked to a couple of the members about it, and you get a different answer because some of them are a little bit more cagey than the others, right? Like Zoe Lofgren will never tell you anything. Schiff was like, well, yeah, I think we should put Trump on the referral list. Like, he just goes there, right? He'll tell you how it is. And so, you know, there are a set of the lawyers that are on that committee that are fighting for talking about Donald Trump being somebody that they name to send it to the DOJ. I mean, they could hold him in contempt if they wanted to. They could hold that vote before they leave. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, but I've also heard, you know, Mark Meadows' name, Trump's chief of staff, his name thrown around, Eastman, the guy who wrote the famous memo. Then, of course, Rudy, he's on that list because he's on every list.
He's on every list.
And Jeffrey Clark. And if you got Jeffrey Clark on this list, shouldn't Scott Perry's name be somewhere there? I mean, this is where it starts then branching out, where if you got Clark in there, you got to have Perry with him as well.
That is a good question, because there are a lot of people who were just as involved as people like Clark. And they were just involved in a different department. And, there were a couple of members of Congress, right? Like it's Gosar and Marge and, you know, all of those folks were just as involved. Biggs was involved, Matt Gaetz. So
and what about Jared? What about Ivanka? What about the fake electors? I mean, if you're going to open the door can open wide.
Yeah. If you're just dipping your toe in people, you know, that lower tier, that's a lot of people that you could be looping in there that they're not.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a wide stance. Like, you remember Larry Craig?
Larry Craig in the Minnesota airport.
I don't know.
I took a picture outside that bathroom. True story. When I was in the airport, I was like, oh, selfie.
You were in the men's bathroom?
No, outside the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess I could have gone in there and taken a picture of my feet doing a wide stance or something.
There you go. The Larry Craig Memorial Bathroom. No, but, you know, but as I'm, and this kind of threw us off, but, you know, if I'm looking at this, I'm going, maybe we start talking about the wider berth there. Let's use a different word than stats.
That's so terrible.
A wider net. Let's go with that.
But, and again, like we've talked about the DOJ investigation and how they have slowly climbed up the ladder to the sedition people. I think we talked about this last week with the Oath Keepers, getting the guilty verdict. Will the Proud Boys, will that incentivize them to, you know, sing about the people who they were talking to in the White House? And I don't know, if they could do that, then we're really talking about a much lighter stance.
This is why I said there had to be harsher sentences at the beginning to move this along. Because, you know, you brought up the January 6th criminals. In fact, you know, this week there was Tuesday, there was the awards ceremony where, you know, and good on Brian Sicknick's family for refusing to shake hands with McConnell and that clan. Good on them. But, it's interesting that none of the Republicans answered the question about why is Trump out there raising money for these January 6th people? Why is he out there raising money for criminals?
Yeah, and just right before, right? Like not even a week before, like it was a couple days before Trump put out a fundraising plea for all of the January 6th people. And so much for backing the blue, right? And there were some, it was interesting, the Republicans we talked to were mostly senators and, you know, asking them, you know, why are you here? It is that narrative of, you know, well, we support those guys. They worked really hard. They protected us. I was there on that day. And it's like, but you're just now kind of standing up for them. And it's only with a medal. Like, where's the rest of the support?
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the year that you've been, you know, that these guys have been just dangling out there and been attacked and mocked and all of the above on online.
No, what's crazy is, you know, I'm on all of the right wing email lists. Mm-hmm. I do this so that my listeners don't have to. I get the red state and the, you know, all you name the, I'm not going to advertise them, but you get all the crazy people who are now, you know, again, we predicted this a while ago, that these people would be then viewed as heroes. And it's what they're doing. I mean, Trump's raising money for them. You know, they're incarcerated unjustly. I do find it interesting when the people who used to complain that prison wasn't harsh enough, that jails weren't hard enough on those criminals, that they're now whining and complaining that it isn't the Club Med they thought it was.
And what's hilarious is, I want to say it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they did a huge expose on the Washington, D.C. jail, because the D.C. jail is just wretched.
Yep.
It's not just that prison is a bad experience. It's really bad condition. It's old. It needs a lot of updating. It's really just generally terrible. And so all these Republicans are talking about the next, you know, the new session of Congress where they take over and they want to do this hearing on, you know, why it's so bad for all of the January 6th guys. And it's like, no, it's not just them. It's really the whole place.
It's all of them.
I mean, they're not treated, you know, any worse or better. It's just that this is a really terrible place.
And, you know, in a functional system, those criminals would get out of jail and they would go, you know, jail was really bad. We should reform that so the next time we go, it isn't as bad.
Call me crazy. Right? Isn't this what rehabilitation was about?
Yeah.
But, you know, Republicans have always been about just lock them up. So,
I've known people who've gone to jail and they've gone in with one frame of mind. They come out. It's an eye-opening experience. I'm not going there. But speaking of jail, Brittany Griner, evidently yes. On the way home, right wing losing their mind again. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, this is one of those things where you go, can't be happy for, immediately got to go right to the anger, and Joe Biden screwed this up. And I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, they wouldn't have liked it if it was the best deal in the world. You know, it sucks that Paul Whelan is not coming home as well. But it's not surprising, right? Like they were not going to trade two people for one person, even though, you know, the Merchant of Death is like this major arms dealer or whatever. Realistically, he's been here in the United States in custody for 15 years.
Right.
If he, and I've heard some people talk about maybe, you know, they wanted him because he knows all of the arms that he sold. And so they want to find those arms because now the military actually needs them. And it's like, yeah, but those are 15-year-old weapons,
yeah.
Right? Like, how is that going to help them that much? They could get something much newer from North Korea.
Exactly.
Which I think is where he's going. But
or they need somebody to go out there and buy some new ones.
Yeah, right? Seriously. But Brittany Griner, like, they're about to send her to a penal colony. They don't, they don't like brown people, right? They don't really treat women all that great in Russia.
They really don't like gay people.
They really don't like Americans. All of those things, and putting her in, you know, in that situation, things are going to get bad fast. At the very least, you know, the thing about Paul Whelan that kills me, that all these conservatives are so pissed about, and you're like, why didn't Trump do anything?
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, he ended up in there in 2018, was it, I think? And so Trump had 2 years. He could have done something.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know. Yeah.
If only.
But
I'm glad she's coming home.
But my email box was just full. And you know, look, this bomber, this terrorist, this, you know, the Merchant of Death, the sanctions buster, that guy. I guess he only had like 2 more years left on his sentence anyway. So when you start going, you know, because I've had people, well, you know, it was just a good idea. I'm going, it was what we had.
Yeah, it's really all that we had. I think we've traded a lot of people. I think we sent them back, Maria Butina and, you know, people like that already. But yeah, there's, I'm excited about her. The thing I think that hacks me off more than anything is that it never should have happened to begin with, because
she should have never gone to Russia.
No, she shouldn't have had to go to Russia, right? Like the reason she went there is because she needed to make extra money because the women in the WNBA aren't making as much as the men do.
Yeah, no, I get
and so
that.
it frustrates me. It's like the women's soccer team. The women were winning constantly, and you know, and the men weren't, and yet they were dumping all this money into the men, and the women were like, "What the hell?" So yeah. I just don't. Why?
Here's where I'm going to be a little weird on this, because I think Bill Burr is actually right in this one. I think I'm going with Bill Burr. When was the last time you were to a WNBA game? I've actually never gone to one.
See, I love women's basketball, but that's because I'm tall and I know women's basketball players. But I'm a basketball nerd. So, and my best friend was a trainer for the Maryland women's basketball. So it's like a thing. But I would watch it if it was on TV. I absolutely would watch it more.
Because I know, which is strange. I've watched it
sometimes.
Depends
on what kind of package you have.
When my daughters,
it's not on a normal ESPN package.
Okay. Now, when my daughters were playing basketball, I made it a point to we have to watch this because I wanted them to see women playing the game and playing it well at a high level and all that stuff. In fact, we used to go to the NCAA tournaments every year, which was part of one of our things that we would do. But the money just isn't there. Look, I mean, I wish it were. I wish there were some equality there. But I'm going to go with Bill Burr on this. But still, I don't think she should. Don't go to Russia. The answer for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Don't
it
go
is.
To Russia.
No one should be there. I mean, especially Paul Whelan was there for oil and gas related issues, and it's like, why? Why? Why did you go?
Yeah. Now, but the weird thing is, I look at I was reading about him again today, and you know, he holds citizenship in four countries.
Yeah.
Which
I think is why they think he's a spy.
Yeah. I go, you're kind of setting yourself up there a little bit. I'm not blaming the victim here, but you know,
right.
It seems very, especially as we seem to be heading back towards this kind of Cold War era, we're going to start swapping people in foreign in other countries. And yeah, very, very strange. Finally, I want to get your thoughts on Tuesday.
Yay. Oh my God. I'm so glad. I was making jokes that, you know, the lights went out in Georgia, but it was all because of Walker's brain cells. really, it's just the lights that went out in the Georgia Republican Senate candidate's head. But
are
it
you
was such a good night.
Are you enjoying the kind of justifications on why he lost I am? If they're trying to make it about everything other than he was just a horrible candidate. I'm sorry. When there's a TV ad out there with your ex-wife going, you know, the first time he held a gun to my head, that was, I don't know, in political life, that used to be an end of a campaign. You used to lose those.
Attempted murderers usually don't get elected to office, but I don't know. This is a new era of politics. What was interesting when we talked to some Republicans on the Hill about this, mostly senators, is they kind of hemmed and hawed around the idea of, you know, it being bad candidate or candidate quality, or he could have been a little bit better. But my favorite one was the Wyoming senator who told me who she was kind of rattling on about policies. And we're like, you don't think that, you know, the policies were bad or anything like that. And she's like, oh, no. Look at the Democrats. And
no.
Like named off all of these problems. It's like you have no solutions.
Yeah,
problem.
See, but I had that solved. You know, a lot of the people who when I would ask, why are you supporting Walker? I can't tell you how many times I got, you know, he's a good one. He's going to do what he's told. And
yeah,
that was
so gross. That's so gross.
But, you know, he was going to do all of the things that Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, because the ads
and
were
Donald
there.
Donald Trump.
There
Hold
he
on.
Was in the middle of two of the whitest white people in the Senate, you know, basically putting words into his mouth. You know, sending that message that he's gonna play ball. He's a good one. He's one of the good ones. You can vote for this one. And I can't tell you how many times it was frightening.
It is frightening. That scene in particular, and the fact that he mispronounced the word election. I'm not going to say it on radio what he actually said, but it was trending all day on Twitter, and that made my day. Yes, so that was great.
Yes, it was. Well, maybe if he had less of the elections and we wouldn't have had as many abortions. No, I'll just leave it there.
There you go.
If he had more elections and less, that's where we'll leave this, Sarah. As always, great stuff. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Wisconsin company Packers Sanitation Services Incorporated, which was found to be employing minors to clean slaughterhouses in three states, has been ordered by a federal judge to comply with child labor laws. Initially, investigators found at least 31 underage workers as young as 13. Further investigation found at least 50 minors scrubbing and sanitizing dangerous equipment on overnight shifts. At least five meatpacking plants in Nebraska, Minnesota, and Arkansas have been identified as employing minors. PSSI agreeing to fire underage workers and sanction any managers who were involved in hiring them. The meat processing companies who own the plants where the workers were identified say they're monitoring the investigation and will consider taking action against PSSI if necessary. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
This is Jim Hightower saying, if billionaire humanoids like Elon really wanted to save us from extinction, they would do the honorable thing by going first.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and you're coming back from Georgia. Again, the Walker campaign is a mess. And I love, again, some of the stuff that's coming out now. Staffers now speaking out. In fact, one of the things going around on Twitter now is evidently the staff tried to reach out to Walker's son, this Christian Walker, and ask about, would you be open to talking to him about some messaging stuff? This is what it says, because they thought he would listen to the kid instead of them. Evidently he said, hey, could you help us? And he replied back, what do you mean by messaging? And the response was, stop being a moron on TV. Read your playbook before opening your mouth. We're just desperate. Yeah, I mean, if your campaign is begging the grandstanding kid to help you with messaging, you got problems. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on Tuesday's outcome and, well, the top stories of the day. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney, to come share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of that? If you ever had a campaign where you had to go to a kid to go, hey, can you get your father to shut up?
Oh, yeah. Well, to spouses and relatives and cousins, sure, plenty of times to tell them, okay, stop it, that's enough.
To have the kid go to the candidate and say, stop it.
Oh, I've seen that, too.
Oh, really?
By the way, on the Walker situation, I don't know if you've watched all the YouTube that his son made, but the son was very in pain, very sincere. I saw this early on in the campaign, and the message that came out of that was crystal clear. At some point in time, the son, I think he's about 21, son, he and his mother must have met with Walker because he said, we talked to my father, and we told him, just come clean. We'll be supportive of you. He could have come clean on everything. They would have supported him, and he didn't. And the son said that was the plan, and he had met with him. And I believe him. He was very believable on it. He was in emotional pain over, he was. And he hit both sides. He said, media, don't use me, but also he went after his dad. And I thought at the time how emotionally and personally, dumb was this for him not to have taken, Walker, to not take the opportunity to reunite with his estranged son and his mother.
Yeah, and also to use that, clearly to use it as a political stepping stone to go, hey, I've been forgiven by them. You should forgive me, too. There's so many avenues instead of, no, didn't do that.
America's a pretty forgiving country. It's a second chance, type of culture. If you come out like he could have, and obviously, again, they did meet. So this was discussed way before he decided to run from his home in Texas. Georgia, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Texas.
That was the other last one. By the way, Senator Warnock doubled the votes, I think, 37,000 the first runoff, and then up to 97,000 this time.
Yeah, look, I don't know how you vote. I can't believe it was even that close, to be honest, Bob. I mean, seriously, the guy, had no platform to run on other than, and again, I've said this a couple of times already today, the response that I heard most often from people when I would say, well, why are you voting for Walker? And it was he's a good one. He'll do what he's told. He'll do what he's told. They didn't say boy, but they said he's a good one. He'll do what he's told.
And I think that, part of it was the push of hold your nose if you want, a Republican in there. And at one time, let's face it, this was the takeover of the Senate seat, although this is the first time since 1934, I believe, that a president has been able to not lose one seat in the Senate. FDR was the last one.
Right. No, I mean, look, he was really a bad candidate. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a bad candidate. I mean, the attorney, the lieutenant governor is probably the worst candidate ever. So I'm going to ask you that question. You know, in looking at this from the outside, not the worst candidate ever, not the worst candidate. Where do you put him? I mean, here in Pennsylvania, we had Scott Wagner, who ran for governor here, and he had that moment that, and I gotta find it and actually play it, because it's one of those things that just I can't believe that this guy actually said this. So here's Scott Wagner.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
So he's a golfer.
He's a golfer. I thought he ran a really bad campaign. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was a bad candidate. He ran a bad campaign. Mastriano kind of ran as a Nazi. That I thought was a really bad campaign, but Walker was so much worse.
Well, I thought we had one of the worst in the country in Ohio with J.D. Vance. He won, but that means nothing in the sense of what it took them millions and millions of dollars draining from the Senate campaign, you know, committee. And for such a red state now, I thought Vance was a horrible candidate. Finally went out to the Marietta, Ohio Labor Day parade, which is like almost first public event. But then along came Walker, and he made Vance look like, I don't know.
Like a statesman.
Reagan, Tip O'Neill, and Obama, you know. So, but Walker was, again, a horrible candidate. Now, I will say this, and this will probably be scoffed at, but I thought he was a terrible, terrible candidate. Then the first debate, I'm just looking at this from a different way. He wasn't good. He held the badge up. I know all of that. But he did come off after the first debate as this guy, you know, in a fist fight, you know, he might be there. He's kind of earthy, kind of street type of guy. Then after that left by the next day. He had a tiny little bump there, you know, in that debate. I just think people held their nose and held to him for the most part.
Yep, that was the response I got as we were knocking on doors and we were making phone calls and
sure.
And all of that. It wasn't, and as I said from the beginning, it wasn't about changing hearts and minds. It was just about getting enough people out to vote and to see if Senate Bill 202 did what it was supposed to do, which was block enough people from voting to be able to get over the hurdle and the hump.
Well,
unfortunately, it didn't.
Bush, you know, you're a grassroots guy, and that still counts for something in this system. I don't care if it's all money. The races would have went different. But, you know, as far as getting out the vote, that's it. I mean, that had to happen in Georgia, or Walker could have won.
Yep. No, there were the Labor put an awful lot of shoulder into to keeping Warnock in the Senate. Because, look, at the end of the day, he's going to be a solid vote for, you know, moving legislation down the road that could be helpful to workers organizing. He voted for the bill that had the pension, the Butch Lewis Act in it, that's going to save, you know, hundreds of thousands of retirees' pensions. You know, that's, again, you know, stuff that has to be put out on the table that Walker wouldn't have.
And he also does one other thing that's inside baseball, but it's a big deal for any party strategy. When it was 50-50, even though the vice president could provide the vote, that is technically a divided Senate, and there had to be compromises when, you know, Schumer and McConnell had a private breakfast, you know, in the Senate dining room. There had to be certain compromises to constitute the Senate. It's right. The way it runs, if it's 50-50. But the 51st seat now doesn't give that power to McConnell to constitute the Senate. So the committee makeup, the structures, the funding structures, everything that's important to carry out your job is now in the favor because of one seat. So it's inside baseball, but it's a big deal to the system.
No, it was important. It was important for Democrats, which is why they put so much shoulder into getting this done. You know, because what we're hearing now is there's going to be another fight over the debt ceiling that's coming over
right.
funding stuff. And we talk about this all the time. Every time Republicans get anywhere near power, they just say, well, let's hold somebody hostage and get our pound of flesh. And I keep asking, when will we get rid of this idiotic rule?
Well, they didn't have the debt ceiling controversy through Bush's time, because I was there. As you know, I call it the yawn vote. Some people beat their chest. You you yawned, you put your card in the voting machine, you voted, and you went to dinner. I mean, that's the way the debt ceiling was. Until Obama's time, then it became a national crisis.
Yeah, I
mean,
before
that, it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, the time to fight over spending is before you take the credit card out of your wallet.
Well, they also, you know, they are doing with the debt ceiling vote, which is even kind of ridiculous they do it, is codifying what they have already voted to spend, whether
right.
it was a budget, which they actually don't do, none of them do, but continued spending resolutions is what they are, and they're codifying what's already done. So if you want to protest these things, do it at the point of the budgets, not at the point of the codification of what you already spent, which is what a debt ceiling vote is.
Yeah, but again, it's a nice tool to hold the administration hostage and
right.
and twist
Correct.
Some arms.
Sure,
it's crazy to me. But I'm glad Tuesday's over, and I know the people of Georgia are glad, because I got to tell you, I would be making phone calls and they would answer it. I already voted. Leave me alone.
Let me go. Right.
Let me go. Which again, you know, I'm. Isn't there a better way of doing this?
For the runoff. First of all, I'm not a believer in these runoff systems. You know, if you win by two votes and you had eight candidates, you're the winner. But you know, they have these runoffs in certain states, and that's the first thing I've never cared for.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of instant runoff voting. I like the idea of someone getting 50% plus one, but there's got to be a way where you go, yeah, we're gonna do this more efficiently. So we don't have to go through this. And these poor
process.
People in Georgia, I mean, two Senate races in a row have gone to runoffs.
Right.
2 years ago, they had two senators in runoff mode.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it just is what it is. Listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I want to also get your thoughts on the big swap today. Brittany Griner, I guess, is probably home by now. We're pretty close to it. Any thoughts on the swap?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I think on the human side of this period, everybody should be happy that she's coming home. A statement I should make before I actually said that, although I wanted to say that's the most important thing, you know, is the fact she's coming home, is, you know, people, please don't go to Russia, don't go to Iran. Don't go to Saudi Arabia and North Korea in particular,
yep.
or Afghanistan.
I mean,
I don't care what your desires are or whatever. When I worked in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, they told me at the embassy, if you do something and it's minor, give us a call. If it's major and you steal, you're going to walk around with no hand. I mean, there are certain things, whether we like it or not, that are, you know, the laws of countries. And on top of it, Russia, you know, has Putin, so he will do anything he can do to get people, just like North Korea, and, you know, if you visit Iran at this point in time. So stay out of those countries. That's the first message, I think. But as far as you know, her coming home, I think people need to be supportive of that. Now, as far as the trade, I think that Putin knew what level this rose to and what support was out there. And I believe that the White House in the initial parts of this tried to get three people out, because there's basically, you know, three main people that have been talked about, and somebody else who was there on a really vicious drug charge where they really trumped it up, you know, the Russians. But frankly, the Russians just wanted one person for one. And so I think that we could have probably held out, but who knows what the outcome of that's going to be. So the White House has to push very hard to try to get the other two back.
Yeah, there was no win in this for Biden, because you're going to get one and not the others.
Correct.
And then, you know, then the other message I keep getting is, well, you're putting this monster back out in the streets, and he's going to go back to, you know, supplying arms, and it's going to end up killing people. And, you see that as well. So there's no win in this.
No, in fact, that's the other message I would give. First of all, we want to talk about swaps. We can talk about the prisoners that Trump released, okay, from Afghanistan. So if we want to talk about deals, a lot of these are no-win deals. you know, from the White House's end of it. Trump released, how many did he release?
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, it was a lot. And so, you know, that wasn't the best deal in the world. I think on this one, if I don't know, if I were advising her, get back to normal life, avoid the TV cameras, and just get back to normal life. And the White House should do the same. You know, they brought her back. Now continue to work on the other two, because, again, the media will try their best to have her make some kind of statement that is not, you know, real supportive of the country. There's going to be something the media will try.
Yeah.
And it would probably be best just to move on now with her life.
Yeah.
And try to pick up the pieces, and the White House brought her back, and that's the end of that.
Get back to basketball. And Bill emailed me, said it was in excess of 5,000.
Oh, okay, I knew it was.
I knew it was a lot.
I was thinking 3 or 4, but okay.
It was in excess of 5,000, he says. Yeah. And wow. Finally.
That's a lopsided trade. So.
No kidding.
Nobody talks about that, though.
No, because everything he did was perfect. It was all good. It was making us great again, and that's why we're okay with it, evidently. Finally, wanted to get your thought on the House sending the marriage equality bill to Biden's desk. Any thoughts?
Yes, I think that it's obviously a good thing that they did it. Of the 40-some Republicans, I've actually personally talked to one of the Republicans that had voted for the bill in the House. He got, you know, some heat on it, and he was very positive about it, and as a district that's, you know, fairly conservative, but as I told him, I said, I think you probably were part to help the Republicans save them from themselves. I mean, the polling on this and the support by people is out there. It's big. And so it passed. It passed in the Senate, and it's on its way to the president, and it's done. And therefore, the Supreme Court, because if these things are codified, which is what they're doing, the Supreme Court will have a difficult time to then undo them.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of
of
Representative Hartzler from Missouri and her?
The crying thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't laugh because it was so pathetic, but I have to, because look, even if you agree with her side of it, how she presented it as the end of the world, that she would cry and they were shutting down the United States of America on the floor of the House, it was so ridiculous that I mean I've watched the video twice, just once in kind of shock, and the second I laughed.
Yeah, no, you gotta laugh. That's the right response.
I had to laugh. I thought, you know, it don't go in acting, honey. Just you know, stay right where you're at.
There you go.
She is acting, I should say. But don't go after the Oscar.
They're going to ruin the sanctity of my marriage.
No, ruin the country.
Yeah. No, it's crazy,
dangerous.
Crazy times. But good stuff. Bob, I appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks,
good stuff, my friend.
Thank you.
You know, again, these folks, they do make me. They do make me laugh, and on the other side, I gotta retell the story of the first time this issue popped up. Someone made me laugh. Right back after this with that.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1993. That was the day that President Bill Clinton signed the North American Free Trade Agreement into law. The stated aim of NAFTA was to increase trade between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. It created the largest free trade zone in the world up until that time. President Clinton declared that NAFTA would promote more growth, more equality, better preservation of the environment, and a greater possibility for world peace.
peace. Many NAFTA supporters thought that the agreement would create hundreds of thousands of new high-wage U.S. jobs. They also claimed the agreement would raise living standards in the U.S., Mexico, and in Canada. Yet many in the labor movement were deeply skeptical of these claims. Labor organized against the bill, but despite the protests, Congress voted to pass the free trade agreement. In 2014, the 20th anniversary of NAFTA, the AFL-CIO released a report detailing the harmful impact of the trade agreement. It noted some alarming facts, stating, "While the overall volume of trade within North America due to NAFTA has increased and corporate profits have skyrocketed, wages have remained stagnant in all three countries." It also found that productivity has increased, but workers' share of these gains has decreased steadily, along with unionization rates. Current data clearly shows the damage caused by NAFTA. Nevertheless, President Obama and many in Congress have pushed for the passage of a similar trade agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This agreement would simply expand the negative impacts of NAFTA. The TPP would lead to even lower wages and continued job loss. This agreement expands special protections for firms that send U.S. jobs out of the country. It is another in a long list of trade deals that have and will continue to hurt working people. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@ricksmithshow.com. So real quick, I got to, you know, the whole same-sex marriage thing. The first time it came up, and this is back, you know, 90s, you know, just fresh on the scene. This is one of those moments I will never forget. And I've told the story a couple of times, but it bears repeating, especially with the crying woman. I'm going to destroy the country. If you haven't seen it, you got to look it up. Representative Hartzler out of Missouri is her name. But, you know, I was on the road at the time, you know, driving, you know, in a convoy going up north, and there's like 10 of us, and we all stopped for lunch, and it came on TV that, you know, same-sex marriage was now something that was being discussed. And one of the guys in the group, you know, was emphatic. He was going to ruin the sanctity of his marriage. I remember it like it was yesterday. And he was going on and on and on, and just for like the whole lunchtime, we were sitting there, and, you know, everyone's, you know, just kind of, you know, ignoring him, but he's angry about it. And finally, you know, before the check comes, I go, so I'm just curious. These people appear that they're talking about that you don't know them. You don't know where they live. You don't have anything to do with them. They're going to ruin the sanctity of your marriage. They've got anything to do with you. And he's like, that's right. They're ruining the institution of marriage. And I go, but hold on. You've got the girlfriend and the kid in Massachusetts that your wife and kids back in Pennsylvania don't know about. Is that not ruining the sanctity of your marriage? I mean, I think I would focus on that first. Just spitballing here. I think I would focus on that little detail, because I know when we go to the hotel, your girlfriend's waiting for you to take you back to the house that you pay for there for, you know, with her and her child, your child. And look, you know, if you get along with that, that's your business. I don't care. It's not ruining the sanctity of my marriage. I'm not the one with the kid and the mistress in another state. But I think that's where you maybe might want to focus first. And there was just kind of a collective, everyone looked at him going, yeah, that's probably right. You should probably be more concerned about that. Not that they were siding with same-sex marriage, but nobody was as opposed to it as the guy who was literally, you know, involved in a situation that could be misconstrued as a complete end of any marriage. I'm sure if my wife found that I had a girlfriend and a kid in another state that she didn't know, I think that'd be kind of the end of it. I got to think that would be the end of it. I think that would be the end of it for a lot of people. I know I would be very, I think I'd be a little. So there's that. So it's interesting. And this is where my mind goes. And this is where I want to leave you today. I think we got to stop worrying about everybody else. You know, my grandfather always said, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. And we got to get back to that. Too much worrying about what other people are doing. I've always been a believer of people living their lives, pursuing their happiness, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Let's do that.
let's mind our own business. As long as people aren't breaking the law, as long as their rights aren't infringing on ours or mine or yours, great. Let's figure out how to. That's the other thing my grandfather said. Don't worry about it. In 100 years, you'll never know it. Lead life today. Be happy. I think that's where I'm going. I think that's where a good place to end today, especially as the marriage equality bill is going to the president's desk, and I'm sure he will sign it, and that is a good thing. Maybe we can finally put this behind us and maybe, I don't know, have congresswomen not cry badly on the House floor. Anyway, if you missed any of today's program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Also, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here next time.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.